that we can work all of our lives, and many of us have labored to get advanced degrees. I know God blessed me to be able to get a master's degree and a doctorate degree. But I come to the realization that there's no education and there's no knowledge unless we have knowledge of the Most High, unless we have the knowledge of God. Because what would it gain us if we...
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the first half of The Gift of Knowledge. So please open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8 as we join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Gift of Knowledge.
We're going to ask that you would open in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And a couple of months ago, we finished up our series on spiritual gifts. But we came back to visit a couple ones that we didn't hit the first go-round. We've been talking about the word of wisdom, the word of discernment. And this morning, we're going to be talking about the word of knowledge. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, it says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So God gives us, there might be different working of the Spirit, but God has given us the Spirit to benefit everybody. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning, and we looked at discernment a couple weeks ago, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And as I said, this morning we are talking about the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. The title of the message today is "The Highest Education is Knowledge from God." That we can work all of our lives, and many of us have labored to get advanced degrees. I know God blessed me to be able to get a master's degree and a doctorate degree. But I come to the realization that there's no education and there's no knowledge unless we have knowledge of the Most High, unless we have the knowledge of God. Because what would it gain us if we got degree after degree after degree after degree, and when we stand before the Lord, we didn't know the things that he wanted us to know? All those degrees, we would have to ask in the end, what did you gain from those degrees? There was a man who was lost, and he was looking for instructions or directions. And he came across two construction workers, and he came, and he didn't speak any English, and he saw these two construction workers, and he said, "Sprechen Sie Deutsch?" And they just looked at him like he was crazy. He said, "Parlez-vous français?" And they looked at him like he didn't know anything. He said, "Habla Espanol?" And then he got frustrated and walked away. And the first worker said, "Well, I guess that we're going to have to learn another language." And the other guy said, "What for?" He knew three, and it didn't help him at all. So, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not necessarily the things that you know, but it's knowing the right things. You got to know what God wants you to know. You can have, once again, and you know, I can say this now because without people taking offense, because I have an advanced degree. And so sometimes, you know, people don't have an advanced degree and they want to criticize those who do. Then people might say, "Well, who is he to say anything? He doesn't have an advanced degree." But I just want to say, even with that, even with advanced degrees, the most important thing is knowledge from God. is to know what it is that God wants us to know. Because when we stand before him, the knowledge that will most impress God is if we knew the things that he wanted us to know. That we've labored our life, that we've worked to get a master's degree in the knowledge of God, that we've worked our life to get a PhD in the knowledge of God. Because he says here that there is the gift. And once again, we've been distinguishing that there are some people that have the gift of knowledge. They have this supernatural ability to understand the things of God. And then, yet and still, every believer should have a word of knowledge, should have the gift of knowledge. You know, and what, as I try to break this down in this simplistic form, most simplistic form, what is a word of knowledge? And I'm going to go over some definitions here in a second. But what is a word of knowledge? And I think I can best explain it by giving this illustration. And that is, it's knowing what to say. That when you get in any situation, that you know what to say. A lady once asked a man who was much younger than she was, "How old do you think I am?" See, now that's a dangerous question right there. That's a dangerous question. So here this guy is. He needs a word of knowledge, right? I mean, he needs to know what to say. And so, very timely, you know, you ever see that commercial where, I forget what it's for, but it stops for a second while the person is trying to think and get themselves together. You know, they might have said something, and then they wish they could go back and a couple seconds and change what they said. And so time stops, and the person is there thinking about how to fix this thing up. And so here, when that question is asked, "How old do you think I am?" Time stops, and you begin to fish in your mind for a timely word. Because knowing if you say the wrong thing, it could have a negative reaction. And so the young man thought about the question, and he said, "Based on your beauty, you are a lot younger than you are, and based on your wisdom, you are a lot older than you are." Word of knowledge. A word of knowledge means that you know what to say. So when we talk about that, it means to know what to say, that on your job, your coworkers will come and ask you questions about faith, or ask you questions about even sometimes what they should do in a specific situation, and here you are, you know, they're depending on your answer, they're looking for you, they've come to you for guidance. You don't need discernment, you don't need wisdom. At that moment when they come to you asking you a question, what do you need? You need a word of knowledge. We've made a distinction between the three, and we said that discernment means to understand what's going on in a particular situation. That if you have discernment, that means that you know what's going on, that something is happening, whether it's right or wrong, good or evil, that something is going on here, and you need to be able to discern. You need to be able to understand what's going on here. The key word here is perception. The key word is perception. As we look at the word of knowledge, which we are looking at today, the definition is the ability to know the mind of God in a particular situation. A word of knowledge means that you know when somebody asks you a question that you know what to say. That means a word of knowledge, that you understand what God's mind is in that situation. The key word there is revelation. And then we looked at last week the word of wisdom. And what is the word of wisdom? The word of wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge of God. So the knowledge of God is one thing, but then having the ability to apply the knowledge of God is quite another thing. And so wisdom is the ability to apply the word of God to a specific situation. And the key word there is application. The key word is application. So as we move on, and you can take a look at your notes at this point, we see the insight of knowledge. And I've tried, because there's a lot of controversy as we look at the gifts. Okay, there's a whole lot of controversy, and you know, you can come to Bethany and hear one thing taught about the gifts, and you can go somewhere else and hear something else taught about the gifts. And so I've tried to present, you know, both sides and say that there's truth and there's something that we can take away from both sides. So as we look at the insight into the word of knowledge, we see that there's the conservative insight and there's the charismatic insight. The conservative insight says that a word of knowledge is the divine enablement to understand what the word of God says about a particular situation. That when you understand what God's word says about a particular situation, then you have a word of knowledge. Well, the more charismatic view would say that it goes a little bit further than that. They would say this is the supernatural revelation of knowledge about a situation that couldn't otherwise be known. And I'm going to break it down here in a second. But I want to ask this question. You can write these answers down if you want to, or if you just want to record them in your mind, you can do that also. All right, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to answer out loud. Like I said, if you want to write it down or just write it down in your mind, you can do that. What does the Word of God say? All right, what does the Word of God say? And I want you to answer. Somebody did you wrong and you want to get even. What does the Word of God say? Don't say it out loud. We're going to go back and see if you pass the test. No, I'm just kidding. Somebody did you wrong, and you want to get even. All right? What does the Word of God say? Your heart is filled with hatred towards your enemy. What does the Word of God say you should do towards your enemy? Your heart is filled with hatred towards your enemy. What does the Word of God say that you should do in reference to your enemy? You are tempted to cheat on your spouse. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? You are thinking about taking something that doesn't belong to you. What does the Word of God say? All right. Somebody did you wrong and you want to get even. What does the Word of God say? Forgive. It says forgive. It says that when somebody has committed offense against you, that as a child of God, that you are obligated to forgive that individual. So I don't know, we don't want to get a response out of you. Maybe most of y'all got that right. You're shaking your head. Some of you still look like a deer in the headlights, but that's all right. Your heart is filled with hatred towards your enemy. What does God's word command you to do? Love your enemy. It says love your enemy. You are tempted to cheat on your spouse. What does the Word of God say? Thou shalt not commit adultery. And you are thinking about stealing something or taking something that doesn't belong to you. What does the Word of God say? Thou shalt not steal. Now, why did I do that? I did that to show that in each one of, that in each one of those situations, what did you need? You needed a word of knowledge. You needed to know what the Word of God said. That if I'm having issues with a person and I want to get revenge, what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says I should forgive them. That's a word of knowledge. That's exactly what I got. I got a word that I needed for the time and the situation that I was in. And so it's very easy to practice this whole thing of a word of knowledge. We don't have to look for some deep esoteric meaning, you know, in its very essence, it's simple, it's simplistic, it's basically taking the word of God and applying it to a situation, a word of knowledge. Well, let's look at the more charismatic answer, that is a supernatural revelation about a situation that could not otherwise be known. All right, first, I'm going to ask you a question. If you are praying about a situation that you don't know what to do in that situation, and you are asking God to show you what to do in the situation, you don't necessarily need discernment. You don't necessarily need wisdom. What do I need from God? And this, once again, it might not even come from His word. I need from God a word of knowledge. The answer to my prayer is when God gives me the knowledge to know what to do. And yet and still, you know, we continue on. I know that, You know, before I came to Bethany, and I've been sharing this with people, before I came to Bethany, when I first got called as a pastor, God gave me a vision, which I believe a vision also can be a word of knowledge, but he gave me a word of knowledge. And he said, he put two things in my spirit. He put radio ministry and biblical counseling program. Those were the two things that two words that God revealed to me and that God showed me that he wanted me to do. And as a result of that, he's brought those things to pass. Now, that didn't necessarily come from the word of God. There wasn't any verse in the Bible that says that you shall start a counseling ministry at Bethany Baptist Church. There wasn't any verse in the Bible that said you need to start a radio ministry at Bethany. There's no verses in the Bible that talk about that. Where did I get that from? That was a word of knowledge. That was God speaking to my heart, telling me what his mind was in that situation. And so we need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that a word of knowledge is applicable to all of us. What is the illustration, a biblical illustration of a word of knowledge? If you look in your notes this morning, both Jesus and Eve were tempted by the devil, but there were two different outcomes. Jesus, unlike Eve, quoted the word of God for each situation. Jesus knew what to do in each situation. We're not necessarily going to go back and read the stories because I think that, you know, we've learned them at some point in time. But we all know back in the garden when the devil came and he tempted Eve and he said, has God allowed you to eat of every tree? And she said that we can eat of every tree except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day that we eat thereof, we're going to surely die. And the devil said, you shall not die. You're not going to die, but you're going to be like God. And God knows you're going to be like him. That's why he told you don't eat. And so we all know the story that they ate of the fruit, and that consequently ended up in the downfall of mankind. We see in the New Testament, Satan comes again. He comes to Jesus, and he tells Jesus, after Jesus had been fasting 40 days in the wilderness, the first thing he says, look, man, he said, you've been out here fasting. I know you're hungry. Turn these stones into bread. And what did Jesus do? He quoted the word on him. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then Satan took him on top of the temple. And he said, jump down off the temple. He said, because the Bible says if you jump down, the angels are going to bear you up. And Jesus said, thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. And then Satan took him up on a mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world that went before him and flashed before his eyes. And Satan said to Jesus, if you will just bow down and worship me, I will give you all these kingdoms. And Jesus said, thou shalt worship God and him only. Now, in each one of those situations, what did Jesus do? Jesus had a word of knowledge. Oh, man. What was Eve's problem? See, your success is dependent on a lot of times whether or not you have a word of knowledge in your mind. If a word of knowledge doesn't come to your mind, then you're going to end up in a situation that you shouldn't be in. Eve did not have the word of knowledge. Now, she already had the word of God. God came down. God spoke to her. God spoke to Adam. She had the word of God. She just didn't bring it back to her mind. And she got in trouble, whereas Jesus did. I put a little chart together. If we can go back to that chart. In life, and notice where Satan hits us a lot of times. Satan hits us at some of our basic needs. He hit Eve with some of the basic needs. He hit Jesus with some of the basic needs of humanity. First, he hit him with the physical need, which was hunger. Jesus had just been fasting 40 days. He had been out there with the animals in the wilderness. All right? So Satan hits him with this whole idea of hunger. What did he come to Eve with in Genesis 3? What did he say to her? You can eat from the tree. A basic need. A basic need in our life. you can eat from the tree. What did he tell Jesus? A basic need. Turn these stones into bread. What was the essence of the temptation? The essence of the temptation was to focus on self-gratification. Oh, somebody hear me this morning. The essence of the temptation was to focus on self-gratification. He tried to get Eve to focus on self-gratification. Go ahead and eat. He tried to get Jesus to focus on self-gratification. Go ahead and eat. See, many desires in our life are normal. They're normal desires. Hunger is a normal desire. But when we try to fulfill it the wrong way at the wrong time, it becomes a temptation. Oh, Pastor, don't go down here. Please, Pastor, don't go down here. But I got to. Sex. Yes, I said it, S-E-X. is a normal desire. God put it in a man, and God put it in a woman. It's a normal desire. But what does Satan do? He comes along, and he corrupts the desire. He tries to get you to carry out the desire in ways that are not healthy. He tries to get you to carry out the desire in ways that are not biblical. And if we don't allow the Word of God to permeate our hearts and our mind, then we will find ourselves giving in to these, what is a normal desire. We will give in to the normal desire in the wrong context. And what's the wrong context? No contract. No contact. I can't put it any more simple than that. And Satan hits us. And don't be at the moment of your weakness and think that Satan is not in it too. I mean, I know that it's our desires drive us, and I realize that they drive us. But the fact of the matter is, you need to realize that Satan is there perverting that whole situation. And what does Jesus do with a basic human desire? What does Jesus do? Jesus quotes the Word of God. Now, what did he need at that time? He didn't need discernment because he knew what was going on. He didn't necessarily need wisdom. He might need that in a second. But what he needed first and foremost, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 4, what he needed first and foremost was he needed a word of knowledge. He needed to know what God's mind was in that situation. And you can see, he says here in verse, now once again, I'm having a hard time reading this Bible here, saints, so y'all pray with me now. Verse 4, I believe it is. But he answered and said, it is written. No, what did he do? What's he doing right there? Quoting scripture. He's quoting the Old Testament. I put it up there when they put the chart back up, but it's Deuteronomy 8:3. Jesus is quoting scripture. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So when Satan hits us in the physical area, we need a word of knowledge. Look at the second area, emotional needs. Satan hits us with emotional needs, that we need security. What does Satan tell Eve? He hit her emotionally. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. You know, look, why are you insecure? You are not going to die. And he is Jesus the same way. He says, look, brother, jump off the temple. You don't need to worry about anything.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were enlightened by today's teaching. Join us next time for the conclusion of The Gift of Knowledge. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Gift of Knowledge, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Knowledge or program number 080803. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request The Gift of Knowledge or program number 080803. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.